that it would open eyes spiritually, Lord. Open hearts. Take away the callous. Your word will go forth out and it does not return void. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All week struggled back and forth going, what should I be teaching on today, Lord? Should I teach on baptism? Even not knowing that we weren't going to do them today just based on the weather. But should I stay in the book of Revelation? And the answer is neither. The answer is what kept coming up was man's plans versus God's plans. And so the opening scripture that I have for you is Proverbs 14, verse 12. And that scripture says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Short and sweet. There's a way that seems right to man, but its way is death. We are living in such a time, and I've made this comment before, we are living in time of great deception. The power of words being spoken are framing thoughts, they are framing habits and fears, and it's polarizing and it's spreading. We are living in unprecedented times, and many, for the believer, are getting fatigued, battle weary. Do you notice how those who have obtained power as a result of the pandemic the last year are no longer releasing that power? They're doubling down. I told you before, expect hopium to come in. The feeling, hey, we're going back to normal. Everyone was breathing it in, taking it all in. And how quickly that is eroding right now. It's not only just a pandemic, now it's the threat of cyber threats and cyber attacks. It's as if it's puffed up, propped up. It's like a movie set. It looks good on the outside, but it's not real. Behind it, it's shallow. It's empty. It's a facade. And the reality is Jesus warned us before his coming that there would be deception. And do you notice how each week it's as if the birth pangs are intensifying? I'm sure Tom could relate to that just in this past week, seeing what his wife went through for the fourth time, brother. Can't do that to her anymore. They're intensifying. The birth pangs are intensifying, folks. Matthew 24, verse 4 through 15, Jesus answered when they were saying, what would be the end? And the very first word that Jesus says here, it says, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. The geopolitical setting is on fire right now. See that you are not troubled. How would you like to be a Christian right now in Afghanistan? They are already underground, and the Taliban is gaining ground. And the penalty for Christianity to them is death. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Last week, J.D. Farag, in his prophecy update, talked about this specifically, where the evangelicals are getting the finger pointed to. You're the problem. We're the problem. We're holding things back. Because we hold so true to our values, biblical values. As society erodes, I was disgusted this past week, and I shared it with my sister and my wife yesterday, where the San Francisco men's gay choir sang a song saying that we're coming for your children. Absolutely disgusting. And they said it was just tongue in cheek, just joking. No, that crossed the line. It crossed the line. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and many false prophets are here today in the pulpit, deceiving many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I met with a customer this past week. He's a sergeant in the state police. And he was just talking about how lawlessness is everywhere, and it's not just here. It's pretty bad in Chicago, but it's everywhere. Lawlessness, just no regard for rules, no morality anymore. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world and witness all nations, and then the end will come. We have a purpose, folks. We are to be that light, to spread the truth, even in the midst of trial. And it's as if a birth pang is exposed, and there's this great contraction, and then there's a pause, and then something else, another event, rolls up right behind it and rises up, and another birth pang, and then it circles back around again. It's like this vicious circle, cycle, but it's intensifying each time. Do you see it? Yes. Lawlessness is on the rise. You do not have to look very far. My wife is one for wanting to watch the weather every night, and we know it's around 9:30, and I turn on the news, and it's depressing. Lawlessness and senseless violence in Chicago and the suburbs, and it's not just here. It's everywhere in this country. It's everywhere in this world. People are literally becoming unhinged. Yet things continue on. Romans 1 society taking over. It's in the schools, it's on television, it's within corporations. You can't hide from it anymore. You need to raise your children up. My wife and I were talking about that yesterday. Teach them the truth. What God ordained. And we know this is all part of a bigger plan, folks. It's a rise of a new order in the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 6-12 says, "Now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." It's already at work. "Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." That's chapter 19, folks, Revelation. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception." It's anti-God. "Among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." The great and evil deception is being orchestrated by Satan. Those who reject truth, divine truth, the truth that sets one free, are the ones who will think the Antichrist is wonderful. Look at this man. He has all the answers. And evil men will become worse and worse. Yet Ephesians 6:12 says, "We do not struggle against flesh and blood, but against Satan and his demonic forces." God will allow the world, will cause the world to be deceived. And why would he do that? You've learned that numerous times now. We've been talking about it. "In order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." God will intentionally cause those who have ultimately and finally rejected Jesus Christ, they're indulging in the pleasures of sin, to be completely deceived. And he gives them over to the reprobate mind. It's spelled out so clearly in Romans 1. And you can see it because they can't reason the logic behind decisions that are made. And when God judges them, his judgment will prove he is righteous and holy. And those who reject him will prove that they deserve hell. A scary thought. And Paul wrote about the end times. He said perilous times will come. And the difficult times Paul referred to are here, folks. And they've been here for a while. I believe what's happening is we're just growing less fond of this world so we can see the decay spreading. And the truth is, times will become more difficult. Scripture teaches that we are living in the last days before the return of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "But know this, that in the last day perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves." Narcissism, our society has become so narcissistic, it's unbelievable. Lovers of money. There's a lot of people getting rich right now off of COVID. I think there was new billionaires, X amount there. You got the cryptocurrency that is, people are getting very wealthy on. I told you before, China is pushing for the cryptocurrency, their digital coin. The Fed coin will be out soon too. You watch. This is all going the same direction, folks. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Feel like you're attacked as an evangelical? Despiser of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's within the church. From such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led by various lusts. It's false teachers. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as verse 8 is very interesting. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. These people are opposed to the truth. They reject biblical truth and seek to deceive and buy the lie. This awesome story in the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 5, the story of King Belshazzar. This is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was having a great feast with 1,000 of his nobles, and he drank wine with them. And while Belshazzar was drinking the wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver cups that his predecessor Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. He wanted to drink from them with his nobles, his wives, and his concubines. So they brought these gold cups taken from the temple and the house of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his nobles, his wives, his concubines drank from them. While they drank from them, they praised their idols, made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. And in verse 5 it says, suddenly they saw the fingers of a human hand writing on the plaster wall of the king's palace near the lampstand. And the king himself saw the hand as it wrote, and his face turned pale with fright. His knees knocked together in fear, and his legs give way beneath him. I think about Seal 6, and the wrath of the Lamb being poured out, and they reject that. They literally see God on the throne with the Lamb and the scroll in his hand, and they reject the truth. And I take this passage, and Daniel comes and translates it. First he goes to his sorcerers, magicians to translate. And then he goes to Daniel, and Daniel comes and tells him the truth. And in verse 17, he said, "Keep your gifts or give them to someone else, but I will tell you what the writing means. Your majesty, the Most High God, gave sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. He made him so great that the people of all races and nations and languages trembled before him in fear. He killed those he wanted to kill and spared those he wanted to spare. He honored those he wanted to honor and disgraced those he wanted to disgrace. But when his heart and mind were puffed up and with arrogance, he was brought down from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven from human society. He was given the mind of a wild animal, and he lived among the wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven, until he learned that the Most High God rules over the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires to rule over them. You are his successor, O Belshazzar, and you knew all of this." You knew who God was, is what he's telling them. You knew all of this, yet you have not humbled yourself. It's pride. It's pride. Pride puffs itself up. "For you have proudly defied the Lord of heaven and have had these cups from his temple brought before you. You and your noble and your wives and concubines have been drinking wine from them while praising gods of silver." It's the instruments of God, and they're worshiping the gods of this world. "Gods that neither see nor hear nor anything at all, but you have not honored the God who gives you breath of life and controls your destiny. So God has sent this hand to write this message. This is the message. Mene, mene, tekel, and parsin. Mene means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. Tekel means weighed. You have been weighed on the balances and have not measured up. Parsin means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians." As Daniel is translating this, they are at the door. They are at the door. And what does Belshazzar do? He gets the truth shared with him. He knew something with the writing on the wall because he was pale and he got scared. And Daniel shares the truth with him. And what does he do? He dresses Daniel in purple robes, a gold chain hung around his neck, and proclaims him the third highest ruler in the kingdom. There's no repentance. There's no turning back to God. What a joke. That very night, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was killed. He could not receive the truth, and his heart was hardened. It became so callous, the truth could not penetrate. The conscience was seared. In the last days, evil will be considered good, and good will be considered evil. In the last days, people will become increasingly more insensitive to sin. Their consciences will be seared and their hearts hardened to others. That means evil will explode. You guys are very quiet. In addition to evil exploding with unbelievers, folks, 1 Timothy 4:1-2 says, "The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." A picture emerges of people who are in the faith. They were in the faith. They had the faith. And their natural desires overshadow it. And they turn from it. And they go to a place where they become scoffers. They can no longer discern the truth. They can no longer look at the times. And they just think, this is going to go on forever. They will live only to fulfill their senses. As their faith deteriorates, what's going to happen? With the rise of the Antichrist, also this harlot comes along and rises with it. The false religion. Proverbs 7 gives this great description of that, I think, when you read through it. And it says, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you." The law of God on your heart. Keep my commands and live in my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. We need wisdom for this time, not of the world, but of God, of the Father, of his word. And call the understanding your nearest kin. Discernment for the times, to understand. That they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. I started this message saying that deception and the words that are being framed. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. That just takes me right back to the devil, seeking whom he may devour. So she caught him and kissed him. Just like Judas. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings within me. Today I have paid my vows, so I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face. And I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen, the world, the pride of life, the lust of the world, the lust of the eyes. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey, and he has taken a bag of money with him, and will come home on an appointed day. And with her enticing speech, he's not coming now. What does she do? She causes him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. And must I tell you, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter or as a fool to the correction of the stocks till an arrow stuck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know what it would cost his life. You play with sin, it can cost your life. The wages of sin is death. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. What did Jesus say? He who endures to the end shall be saved. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Are you opposed to the truth? Are you putting your head in the sand like an ostrich? Are you hardening your heart to the truth? Remember, there is a way that man thinks is right, and it is death. And that goes back to the garden. Adam and Eve thought they could be as God. They could chart their own course and make their own way, and some are dealing with their own desires and plans. And those decisions can lead you to disaster, to shipwreck. Man's way is faulty. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, therefore, in chapter 7, verse 24 through 27 of Matthew, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You know what, folks? Both houses looked great on the outside. Beautiful homes, I'm sure. Probably on the beach is what he's describing here. They both have the appearance of a house. The foundation of the one on the sand was faulty. And I'm telling you today, if your foundation is on the things of this world, the government and your own schemes, your appearance may look the part, a form of godliness, but you will be swept away by the lie. It's time to tear it down if you are not in the truth, if you are not on that foundation, and start over. Go back to your first love, which Jesus talked to the church of Ephesus about, the very first letter in the book of Revelation. You need to put your faith and trust in Christ alone. The solid rock, the chief cornerstone. If a cornerstone is removed from a building, what happens? The building falls. We saw that in Miami. All those precious lives. Faulty foundation. And the truth is, you have to give up control. We sang that. It needs to be His way, not yours. Amen. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, 6, with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Trust God. Lean not on your own understanding. To have confidence and trust in His will, to trust His plan, to trust God, the point of putting our entire lives into His hands. In our own understanding, we cannot comprehend and fully understand God's plan or His will. But God already knows the route we need to take, and He goes before us to make a clear path. You must exercise faith. Trust Him and take Him at His word, and He will lead us down the path to walk. All the chaos we see in the world today, and also in our lives, is really due to the pride that man thinks they have all the answers and that we know better than God. And we have all been guilty of this mindset. Some are still guilty of it. You know, the night before the crucifixion, Jesus struggled to find an alternative. He said, "Is there another way, Lord? I could pass this cup from me." And He prayed so hard that His sweat turned into droplets of blood and there was no way out. The cross couldn't be averted. Jesus had to die in our place for our sins, folks. If we are to ever be restored to God, the Lamb, the perfect Lamb for sacrifice. So when Christ prayed to the Father and then realized it wasn't going to be, He trusted God and prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thy will be done." He taught us how to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And that is one of the difficult prayers to say sometimes, folks. Not my will, but thy will be done. We don't want to walk through the dark valley. We don't want to bear a cross. But if we learn to bear the cross and die to self, that's what He said. Jesus said, "Those who die to self will live." Die to our plans, our determinations. We will live to see a resurrection, folks. Surrendering to God's plan because He has something better in store, though we cannot comprehend. We have a tendency to assume that we have failed when we have done all within our power to trust God and things turn out a little different than what we designed. But some of His purposes and His plan you will not fully understand until you see perfect face to face. When we look through the prism now, we see it. It's like a dimmed mirror. But when we cross over, you're going to go, "Ah, it all made sense." We're going to look back and say, "Why didn't I trust in Him there?" God has a better plan, even when that process of trusting in that plan is painful. And God doesn't want us to understand the process, but He does want us to trust Him. Give Him your heart. He's calling us away from self-sufficiency, self-dependency, self-rule, self-guidance. He is shaking the foundations of the earth right before us to get us to let go of the world and take hold of Him, the creator of the world. To recall our faith in Him. When we trust in our own, it leads down a path of heartache, difficulties, fear, doubt, anger, misunderstandings, anxiety, and strife. And we don't have all the answers. We need God. I would love to see that this country would bend their knee and seek the Lord's face again. Pray. I think we're beyond that point, other than the remnant that here that exists. Isaiah 55:69 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Just don't let pride come between you. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We need to trust in Him, in His all-knowing, all-sufficient power. He is the sovereign God of the universe and has complete control. And it doesn't mean that hardship won't come. Perilous times are here, folks. Jesus said, "You will have tribulation. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Not the best life now. We look to the future when Christ will make all things right. And He says, "I have overcome," because our faith in Him, we are overcomers as well. It also means that we can have peace. Isaiah 26:3-4, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength." We are looking for the joy to come because of the Lord and what He has done. 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." He has prepared a place for you. There is something so much greater than what this world has to offer. Amen. I'm speaking to your heart today. Don't lose focus. Not now. Not now. We're far too in now. Don't lose focus. The world and Satan are trying to distract you. If the enemy can shift your focus, then guess what? You can't be fruitful for the kingdom of God. It's triage time, folks. We need to get as many people to Jesus Christ as we can. Snatching brands from the fire because it is hot. Time is getting close. And when we focus on the circumstances of this world and lose focus on Christ, we stop being salt and light bearers. And He said, "You are the salt of the earth." And if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? We can't lose our flavor now. "Is it then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot? You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are on the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works." And guess what? What happens when they see your good works? They glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Some will, my boss says, some will, so what? On to the next. There are people out there that need the truth. Yes. Don't give up. Keep seeking the kingdom. Keep bearing fruit for His kingdom. Don't lose sight. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews 12, "Therefore we are also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us." We all have the same race, folks. It's the race of faith. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." He set the example. Amen. Endurance. despising the shame, and now he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's about to stand up and take that scroll.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Do you have discernment for the time? We are living in such a time of division, and many are losing hope. The spirit of Antichrist is here, and it is flourishing in this world. The world is ripe for a leader who has all the answers. That is the agenda of the world that goes back even to the Tower of Babel. You've learned that. This has been ingrained. You've heard these teachings over and over again. A one-world government is coming. It's going to usher in the Antichrist. John saw it even then. He said, little children, it is the last hour. 1 John 2:18. As you've heard, the Antichrist is coming. And even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. The wicked have no idea what is going on, but believers understand that per Daniel 12:10, many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. A.W. Tozer quoted in preparing for Jesus' return, the daily Live the Blessed Hope. He says, let us be alert to the season in which we are living. It is the season of the blessed hope, calling for us to cut our ties with the world and build ourselves on this one, capital O, who will soon appear. He is our hope, a blessed hope, enabling us to rise above our times and fix our gaze upon him. Are you living for him? Are you trusting in him? Are you seeking him? Are you longing for his return? Because he can come at any moment. Jesus Christ tells us this parable of the foolish and wise virgins. And he says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps but took no oil with them. They didn't endure, folks. They didn't endure. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, no, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. After the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, the worst, scariest words, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Jesus is coming back, is what the point is. Would you be staying behind, or are you going with your master? You have one master. If you do not know Jesus, today is that day. Today is the day to know that should the trumpet sound or should you breathe your last breath, there's a guarantee one of those things are going to happen. One or the other. The bridegroom's going to come, the trumpet will sound, and you will either go with him or not, or you will breathe your last breath, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you will be standing before the King. Will he know you? Or will he say, depart from me? If you do not know Jesus, today is the day you must admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That is the payment that is required, death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Repent. The day is at hand. B, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And finally, Romans 10, 13, the C of the ABCs, call upon the name of the Lord, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I share this with you that you will use that to share with others. The truth that set you free can set them free. It's getting scary, folks. Time grows short. Be about your Father's business. Walk with your King. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power that it has to grip hold of us and to shake us. Help us to be about your business, Father, producing fruit for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.